Big, believe in God. Faith is believing in God. Faith is believing in God. How many of you believe in God today? Amen. The Bible says in Mark chapter 9, 23, all things are possible to him who believes. And that means this room is packed with possibility and potential today because it's a room that's full of believers. Now, faith is trusting in God. Faithfulness is when God can trust in us. Somebody look at your neighbor today and ask him, can he trust you? Faith is trusting in God, but faithfulness is when God can trust in us. If you have a Bible today, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. I'm going to pray as you're turning there. Father, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your word today that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I thank you. We acknowledge today its power. It is the most anointed thing we handle. Father, I ask for an anointing to declare it, an anointing to live it. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you would make room in our hearts to contain what we're about to receive from you. Holy Spirit, I pray that those who have come in today with questions would leave with answers. Those who have come in today facing problems would leave with solutions. I pray that those who have come in pressed down and discouraged today would leave with the load lifted and their hearts flooded with your joy that's unspeakable. Father, I pray for supernatural peace today. And most of all, we ask that someone here today that does not yet know your Son as their Savior or that is living away from you and is fallen from your grace, Father, I pray that today they would be restored, that they would come home, that your love would draw them in and they would see what Jesus did at the cross and how amazing salvation is. We thank you now that their names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life before we leave today. And we give you praise and glory on credit for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Could you give God a big praise for what's about to happen in the next few minutes? Matthew chapter 25, we're in verse 14. This is called the parable of the talents. Jesus used parables to explain eternal truth of the kingdom. He used stories to explain a deep spiritual truth. And in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. He's about to reveal to us a truth of kingdom living. It's like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Now, this is a picture of Jesus. Jesus is the man who's going away. We are the servants that he's called to us. The talents and abilities and strengths he's deposited in each of your life are the goods he gave to these people. Verse 15, and to one he gave five talents. A talent was a measurement of money. To another two, and to another one. So there was a five, there was a two, and there was a one. To each according to his own ability. That's important. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the five talents went out and traded with them and made another five talents. That's pretty good. He doubled his money. I'd like that kind of return on my investment. Verse 17, and likewise, he who had received two gained two more also. So he had the same level of success. Verse 18, but he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of the servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Let's read that together. Well done, good and faithful servant. And he says, you were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. So we see a progression there from few to many. It's increase, it's promotion. He said, enter into the joy of the Lord. Well, I don't know about you, but the joy of the Lord's worth more to me than anything on this earth. Because you can't buy it in a pill, you can't find it in a bottle, you can't find it in a relationship. The joy of the Lord is more valuable than anything else. And he says in verse 22, he also who had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents beside them. And his Lord said to him, same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Verse 24. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. In other words, this was his perception of the master. Reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Verse 25. And I was afraid. Fear will never allow you to step into the place where God has called you. And he went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Verse 26. But his Lord answered him, you wicked and lazy servant. Big contrast. We have good and faithful and then wicked and lazy. You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Verse 28, therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Verse 29, for to everyone who has, more will be given. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Verse 30, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Faith is when we trust in God, but faithfulness is when God can trust in us. This is a parable or a teaching about faithfulness. And faithfulness is always a test. And so today, to wrap these things up, everything we've talked about has brought us to this moment this morning. I want to talk to you about the big test, the B-I-G test, the believe in God test. Because when you believe in God, it should be able to be seen in our life and the way we use what God's given us. I want to look back at verse 23, and I want to read it to you from a different translation. I want to read it from the New Living. It says, the master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. And then Jesus says, let's celebrate together. You need to know today some fast facts about faithfulness is very simply this, that God is looking for faithfulness in your life. God expects faithfulness in your life. God rewards the faithfulness in our lives. God promotes faithfulness in our lives, and God will celebrate with the faithfulness in our lives. Faithfulness releases greater joy. Now, let's define exactly what faithfulness means. And here's the definition I wrote down that kind of makes sense to me that stands out. And it's simply this. Faithfulness is using what we have been given to produce increase where we are. Faithfulness is using what we have been given to produce increase where we are. And I want to begin by saying this morning, that everyone is given something. Everyone is given something. I want everybody here today to say, I have something. It's very important that you understand that. This is the biggest lie the devil uses against every single believer at some point in our life, even if you've forgotten it. And I hear people that say this, well, I don't have anything. A matter of fact, we see it in the Word of God. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, that each person, somebody look at your neighbor and tell them that's you, each person is given something. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The two greatest days in every man's life are, number one, the day you're born, and number two, the day you figure out why. There is a reason why you're here. Understanding my gifting helps me with that. And we can break down what God's given us, Nick, into three categories. They are time, talent, and treasure. Time, talent, and treasure. Time, talent, and treasure. I want you to say that with me. Time, talent, and treasure. One more time. Time, talent, and treasure. How many of you have time? Okay. How many of you have some kind of talent? Every hand in the room should be up. How many of you have at least change in a dish at home? Okay, because the woman who had 1 cent in the Bible moved Jesus' heart. So if you've got 1 cent to your name, that's all you need to make a difference in the kingdom of God. Time, talent, and treasure. One of God's favorite questions is, what do you have? And Dave, it is an identifier of our spiritual location. When God says to us, what do you have? He's not looking for the answer. He wants you to acknowledge what you've got, because human nature is forgetful. We have a tendency to stop looking at what we have and start looking at what we don't have. Am I talking the truth to anybody today? Right? We have a tendency to discount what's already in our possession. I think back in the Bible when he sent Moses before Pharaoh, what did he ask him? He said, Moses, what do you have in your hand? What did Moses have? He had a stick. Great, God, I'm going to change the world with a stick. That's real exciting. I'm going to deliver your people with a stick. I'm going to bring them out of bondage with a stick. The sick are going to be healed with a stick. You're going to do signs and wonders through a stick. Moses couldn't see it. I know I couldn't see it. I'm like, okay, God, you can do anything. And so he begins to use that staff as an expression of the power of God. He says the same thing to David. He says, David, what do you have in your hand? And David says, I'm a shepherd boy, and I don't have a lot, but I got a sling, and I know how to use it. And you helped me to use it to kill a lion when it came to take daddy's sheep. And you helped me to use it to kill a bear when it came to take daddy's sheep. And I don't see any reason why, if you delivered me from a lion and a bear, why you can't deliver me from this knuckle-headed Philistine. He said, what do you have in your hand? I think about that widow. The prophet said for God, what do you have in the house? She said, I don't have anything but a jar with a little bit of oil. Well, I come to tell you, everybody at Victory has a but. And it's a big but. Amen? God's given you a but. You have something in your house. You have something in your hand. You have something in your possession. I think about when Jesus was out ministering to the people, and he was preaching and he was ministering and laying hands on people and healing. And this massive crowd of thousands is represented there. Over 10,000 people are in this crowd, and Jesus wants to feed them. And he says, guys, I want you to feed them. They're like, what? And Jesus says, what do you have? And they said, we don't have anything, but this little boy over here has an extra value meal from Long John Silver's. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. He's got the Lenten luncheon special. We don't know what you can do with it, but here it is. And what does Jesus do? He feeds 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children, and there were still leftovers. God has given every person something they can use for him that will help other people. We're still talking about that little boy 2,000 years later because he offered up what he had and said, God, I may not have much, but if you want it, you can have it. God is not looking for your abilities. God is looking for your availabilities today. God is looking for what you do have to lay it up on the altar and say, let the fire fall on it and release the fragrance of Christ through my life. Amen. So what am I good at? What are you good at? What can you do? What do you bring to the table? What can you do to help? I think about Miss Linda Meacham. I call her Miss Meacham. Sitting right here. Raise your hand, Miss Linda. Linda Lou's Bakery. This woman can cook lights out. I mean, stone your grandmother. The lady is crazy good at cooking. And I don't mean one of them people that says they're a good cook. I mean one of them people that when you eat it, you've died and gone to heaven. Best broccoli salad I've ever had. I mean, brought some stuff last week just to be a blessing to the family. And Miss Linda said this when she heard about Theron's situation. She said, cooking is my love language in baking. She said, when I heard about your situation, I said, this is what I can do. Well, can I tell you how much that blew away Mother Sally? And how much that was a blessing to her. Would y'all give God praise? And I'm singling people out, but I want to give you real examples today of how somebody used their gift. See, when we hear a need, our gift will speak. I think of another amazing young couple that came and sat in my office and blew my mind. I've never had anybody say this to me in my life or in the entire time I've been in ministry. And they came in and the wife was in tears and she was saying, I've just been crying out to God. What can I do for my family? What can I do to be a greater blessing, to bring something? And she said, as I've been praying about it, the only thing I really think I'm that good at is giving birth to children. I'm just built for it. It's easy for me. And she said, so I want to sign up to be a surrogate so that a mother who cannot have a baby can have a baby. Can I tell you right now, that woman is a gift from God to somebody, and somebody's life is going to be changed because of her selflessness and sacrifice. And this is easy. I don't care how old you are, you can be a part of this. I was talking to Anna about it in the bathroom the other night. I said, Anna, what gifts and talents has God given you? And I mean, this isn't a long, drawn-out process where I'm coaching her along and prompting her and everything else. And in a matter of about 30 seconds, she says back to me, well, I'm happy. Well, how many of you know in a world that's full of depression and sadness, she's a happy kid? Her teacher's back there is nodding her head. Yes, she's a happy kid. Happiness, if you're a happy person, that's something you can use. And she acknowledged that. Her willingness to serve, her right. She's a writer. She's written messages. She writes letters to people who are struggling and discouraged and who are down and who are dealing with battles. Her creativity is a blessing. She uses it to create things to give other people. I think the same about Zoe. She's not here today. She's at home not feeling good. But even Zoe, my 5-year-old, she colors pictures. These are pictures she's colored, and then she sends them to people in the church that are going through difficulty, having a hard day, facing something. something heavy, and she colors them, and she writes her name on them. She always signs her name Z-O-E and then a cross on everything she does. But she's laying hands on them in that picture, and she's praying that the anointing would be tangible in that picture so that when the people who receive them touch it, it would be a blessing to their life. And I want to tell you right now, I had one person after another call me and come to me face to face in tears saying, that just broke us when we received that letter. And it was exactly what we've needed. It was the encouragement we needed. We've hung it on the refrigerator. People say, well, Josh, that's no big deal. What's the big deal about that? That's a little thing. Well, I can tell you right now, there are some people who received them that would beg to differ, and it was a huge thing to them, and it might be what they needed to put them over the hump and push them out of defeat and into a place of victory in our life. Can I tell you that sometimes breakthrough comes into your life in the smallest of ways, and we've got to stop discounting the small and understand that half of supernatural is natural, and when we do our part, God puts the super on it, and amazing things begin to happen. The Apostle Paul, they just took napkins off of his body and went and laid them on somebody. Something little, something as insignificant as a handkerchief or a piece of cloth, and yet it carried the healing power of God, and miracles took place as a result of them doing something that seemed insignificant and stupid, and yet God used it to do great and mighty things. There are great and mighty things in this congregation today that are waiting to be done when we stop overlooking the insignificant. We start saying, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, no matter how small it might seem to be, no matter how stupid it might seem to be. Here I am, use me, I will go for you. There are no little gifts, just little attitudes. I love what Helen Keller said. She said, I long to accomplish great and noble tasks, but it is my chief duty to accomplish small tasks as if they were great and noble. The size of the gift doesn't matter. The size of the gift doesn't matter. Ooh, you got five. Ooh, he must like you more. The size of the gift didn't matter. The size of our action does. We judge based on what we have. God judges based on what we do. We've got to get our eyes off of what it is and onto the action it produces. Faithfulness begins where you are with what you have. Secondly, you need to understand today that your time, talent, and treasure belong to God. The Bible says that the master gave them goods that belong to him. Everything I have is from God. Every good and perfect gift in my life, James says, came from the Father in heaven. Everything good. I can't brag on anything good you see in my life. That's why anytime you come to me, don't think I'm a weirdo, don't think I'm super saved or over spiritual. If you compliment me on anything, I'm gonna say praise God. Because I know who I was without him. And I know that apart from him, nothing good is inside of me. So any good you see in me came from Daddy. And I'm going to take every chance I have to give him the glory. What that means is what we have came from him, and it must be used for him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Everything you do, no matter how big, no matter how little, do it in a way that it glorifies God. How are you using what you've been given to glorify God and be a blessing to other people? And I believe that as you sit here today, the Holy Spirit is highlighting gifts, talents, abilities in your life. Things you can do, things you're already doing, not something else you got to go learn or go to school for, something you can do right now. The next thing you need to know is very simply this, as we look deeper into this passage, is that God decides who gets what. God decides who gets what. That means I don't need to get upset because somebody has something I don't have. God knew you needed it, and you could use it better than I can use it. We have got to get a hold of this. Because consumer culture has taught us we all need to have the same things to look the same way, to live the same life, to be successful. If you drive this, drink this, look like this, do this, so on. And it's this comparison trap. The Bible says that Jesus gave to each one according to his own ability. God knows what you can handle. And we fall into that comparison trap, which sounds like this. What they have is better than what I have. And there's a problem with that. It is impossible for someone else to be better than you because there are no two alike. Your fingerprints prove it. Your retina proves it. Your DNA proves it. Your follicles prove it. It is impossible for you to be better than me because we're not the same. That's apples and oranges. I don't like my thumb better than my ear. This is what we want to do. I don't like my toes better than my eyes. I like them both, and I celebrate them both. I tell Anna, you're my favorite daughter. Some people are like, I can't believe you'd say that to her. Well, guess what? I tell Zoe the same thing. You're my favorite daughter too, because they're different. They don't have to compete for my love. I love them both equally, and I love them both differently. You be who you are, I'll be who I am, and together we'll do the great things for the glory of God. Amen? See, come on, you can get relaxed today about being you. Just be you. It's unwise to compare ourselves to other people. I mean, I want you to think about this conversation as the master hands out the five and then two and then the one. The guy that gets five's like, man, I'm way better than all y'all. And it produces pride. And then the guy with one's like, I'm way worse than all y'all. And it produces insecurity and inferiority. And the guy with three is like, I'm doing pretty good. I'm right here in the middle, so I'm just hanging out. You know, the M in middle is for mediocrity. This guy's just coasting because he's right in the center. He's under the radar. He's dodging everything. He's not being celebrated and he's not being tolerated. He's okay with life the way it is. But I want to tell you today, it's okay for you to say, I'm not as good at something as somebody else is. That's all right. It's okay for you to say, I'm not as gifted in this area as they are, but you know what? God's gifted me in another area more than them. Because the reality is, I'm not trying to be the best, I'm trying to be my best. Amen. God's not going to judge me based on what you did. God's not going to judge me based on what you have. God's going to judge me based on what I did with what he gave me. And so the challenge and the adventure is, can I reach my own potential? Because when I start comparing myself to you, I start choking down the potential God has given me. And so success is knowing where to focus and where not to focus. It's focusing on what you do have and not on what you don't. And when you do, your energy begins to flow toward your gift instead of away from it. The Bible says that immediately the guy with five went out and he began working with what God had given him. He didn't waste time. He didn't have to be told. He didn't wait for something else. He went out. God expects you to use what he's given to you. And to the first two, he said, well done, good and faithful. Good and faithful. Good and faithful. To the third, he said, wicked and lazy. And so we see then a spectrum that we live inside of with two ends of it. And we need to decide who we're going to be. At one end of the spectrum is good and faithful. And at the other end of the spectrum is wicked and lazy. The opposite of good is wicked. The opposite of faithful is what? Lazy. Where do we fall in that spectrum? Because that's what God is looking for in our life. The goal is that when we cross the finish line, when we draw our last breath, when we meet Jesus face to face, we want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And the reality is, you can't reproduce what you don't put to use. God wants you to grow what he's already given you. And that means to bloom where he's planted you. Because if you sow it, God will grow it. No matter how small it is. Seeds start small, but they grow into greater things. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 says, then God blessed them. Somebody say, I am blessed. When God created man, he blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. You are blessed, and the result of your blessing is fruitfulness and multiplication. God has anointed you to bring increase. And the key to growing what we have is using what we've got. The key to growing what we have is using what we've got. God wants me to bloom where he's planted me. He wants me to make a difference right where I am. You are anointed to bring increase where you are. There is a grace in your place. If you're married today, marriage is a gift, and God gives you the grace to be the best spouse you can be. Heaven stands behind you. If you have children today, children are a gift, and God gives you grace to be the best parent you can be. If you are saved today, salvation is a gift, and there is a grace to be the best believer you can be. Grace is life fuel. And when I step into what God has deposited in my life, his grace is released like electricity, and it empowers my gift. But there is no reward for good intentions. There is no reward based on what we thought about or what we talked about or what we wanted to do or intended to do. The reward is based on what we did. Going to the next level is based on what you're doing. Entering a new season, experiencing increase, is determined by what we are doing with what God has given us. What we do now determines what God gives us next. And the sad reality of it is simply this, that fear keeps us from stepping out and using it. And when we do that, if you don't use it, you lose it. See, God wasn't mean. Jesus, the master, wasn't mean just taking it away from the man. He didn't use what he had been given. He was an unfaithful steward. What you have belongs to somebody else. It is then on the master to make sure his gifts are invested wisely. And when they're not, we lose it, and it is given to someone who will use that thing. That's why it's on us. So you don't have to say, well, I'm behind the ball on that. God's already taken my gift for me, and I've already missed the boat. No, the good news is, no matter where we miss it in life, if we confess our fault and sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and he's right there waiting for you. And no matter what's happened in your past, today's a brand new day, and his mercy's new this morning, and the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, and you can get back up and step back in to the gifts and abilities God has given you. Can somebody say amen for the God of second chances? You got to use it or you're going to lose it. The danger of missing out is always greater than the risk of stepping out. The price of regret will bankrupt your soul. The price of regret will bankrupt your soul. So, question. If faith is when we trust in God and faithfulness is when God trusts in us, let's just ask the obvious. Why does God need to trust in us, Amy? Why does God need to trust in you? Very simply because of this. The local church is the hope of the world. Who is a part of the church? Who is the church? Is the church a building? The church is people. Somebody say, we are the church. Somebody say, I am the church. I need to hear a little louder over here. I am the church. Oh, I'm convinced. Who's the church? We're the church of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. We call this the Great Commission. I like to call it co-mission for the same reason that I say McDonald's. Co-mission, because it's a joint mission. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. The first thing Jesus gives is his power. The second thing he gives is his permission when he says go. And make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teach these new disciples to obey all the commandments I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So not only does he give us his power, not only does he give us his permission, but he also then gives us his presence. And so what you must understand today is this, and it is a fundamental truth you can never let go of once you see it today, that the Church of Jesus Christ has a unique mission to fulfill on this planet. If you are born again, you are a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what denomination you claim or what denomination claims you. If you are born again, you are a part of one church and one church only, and it is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the church he shed his blood for. There is no other group, organization, or institution on the planet that can change a human heart like the church. There is no other group, institution, or organization on the planet that can heal a wounded soul or turn hatred into love or replace rebellion with repentance and reconciliation or forgive sin or release peace. Only the church can comfort the grieving while lifting the unfair burdens life so often lays on unassuming bystanders who find themselves living nightmares that they never dreamed they would have to face. The church is here so they don't have to do it alone. This is a house where sinners become saints. This is a house that offers clarity to the confused. This is a house that is an oasis that offers resources to those in need and extends a welcome to the forgotten. This is a house that is a hospital for the wounded, where those who are hurting and bound and broken can come to have their chains cut off and be free of addiction and oppression. The church offers a place to belong for every outcast. The church is a beacon of light, driving demonic darkness out of hearts and homes. Whatever pain and suffering humanity can experience, the church offers greater hope and help and healing. There is no other organization on the earth that is like the church. Nothing even comes close to it. The Church of Jesus Christ is beautiful. The Church of Jesus Christ is breathtaking. The Church of Jesus Christ is heartwarming. It is inspiring. We are glorious and we are victorious, and our only potential is limited by our faith. because all things are possible to him that believes. I come to tell somebody at Victory today, the gospel must be preached, the lost must be found, believers must be equipped, the poor must be served, the lonely must be embraced by a close-knit community, and God must get the glory for all of it. This is the redemptive purpose for which Jesus came, lived a sinless life, died a substitutionary death, was buried in a borrowed tomb, raised from the grave, and ascended to the Father's right hand, where he's praying for us. Heaven is counting on us. Jesus has come and he is gone. He sent us his Holy Spirit. Now it's up to us what we do. He is looking for us to love our world for him. We must be Jesus to our world. The eternal destiny of the world rests on you. Just got heavy real quick. The eternal destiny of our world rests upon what will the church do next. And that's why there has to be a burning desire in every heart of every follower of Jesus to give nothing short of your absolute best for him. A desire to discover and develop and deploy the time, talent, and treasure that God has already placed in your life for his glory, so that on the day you meet him and face him face to face, we have something to give in exchange for his grace. That's why we give our lives to this. That's why we give all the money we can afford to this. That's why we give all the time and effort and energy we can to this. Because for all eternity, church, we're going to look back at these moments and we're going to be proud we did it. There is nothing more important than this. Nothing more eternal than this. Nothing more exciting than this. We are the church of Jesus Christ. We are a force to be reckoned with. We are a force against which no devil in hell can stand. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the victorious church of Jesus Christ. We're here to change our world because he changed our life. And so here's the deal. I was thinking this week and praying about it, and God gave me four areas that we can focus our faithfulness. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Four areas, four very simple things. Anybody can do these. You see in the back of your seat in front of you a card. I want everybody to grab one. There is one for each person here today. There is a card in the back of your seat that says four ways we can focus our faithfulness. And here's what they are. Number one, I want to challenge you right now. I mean, this is your dare. Like when we were kids, I dare you. Those words got us in trouble a lot. Well, these words won't. Number one, I want to challenge you to attend every service for the next 5 weeks. That's a short, attainable goal every one of you can do. There's a date and a checkbox for every one of them. I challenge you to hang this on your refrigerator and check them off each week you come. It's very important. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not to neglect getting together with other believers to worship the Lord. You can do this. Here's why. Easter is 5 weeks away. This is very intentional. Easter is only 5 weeks away from today. I also want to tell you about Wednesday nights. I want to encourage you to come. I realize sometimes you can't. We're starting a new series. Here it is. For the sake of children, I'm not going to say it. We're starting it a week from this Wednesday night. God invented intimacy, not Hugh Hefner. The church ought to be the authority on that topic. Can I get an amen? The church ought to be educating the world. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so I want to encourage you to come and be a part of it. And amazing things are going to take place among us for the next 5 weeks. I know life is busy. I know life is hectic, but it's also heavy. It's also hard, and it can also hurt. Isn't that true? And that makes doing things that fuel your soul that much more important, so you can live a life that you dream of instead of a life that you dread. Making room to meet with God and other believers is critical for you to live in victory every day. And here's my challenge to you. Don't be a spectator, be a participator. Jump in and be a part. Don't just come, but we need you to connect. Be a part of what God's doing. When you come, you bring something with you. And you decide what that is you bring. You bring an attitude. You decide what kind of attitude you bring. You bring an expectation. You decide what kind of expectation you bring. You bring your faith. You decide. What are you believing God to see and do in the service today? Bring a praise with you. Bring a shout with you. Bring a clap with you. Bring a jump with you. Bring an offering with you. Bring your attention with you. If you're serving in Team Victory, listen to me very close. All of you who serve as volunteers on our teams, ushers, greeters, children's ministry, cafe, bookstore, all of our ministries, AVL, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Ministry is impossible without you. You are the lifeblood of what happens in this place. Church, can you let them know how much we appreciate them? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Here's what I want to say to you. If you're serving on one of those teams, we can't win without you. We cannot grow without you. What God does next depends on your commitment to that ministry. We cannot grow and move into new things until we've established what we already have. This church runs on your commitment. I want to encourage you, especially if you're a greeter or if you're an usher, please, please, please attend your pre-service meetings. They are huddles, just like a football team. If a player doesn't go to the huddle, he don't play in the game. We need you at the huddle. Your presence is necessary at the huddle. You bring something with you. Please be a part and participate in those things. Number two, I want to encourage everybody to invite someone to victory. Everybody to invite someone to victory. The Bible says in Luke chapter 14, verse 23, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be full. God said, I want you to go out and I want you to bring them in. I want to tell you right now, people are coming because you're going. And God wants his house full. So let's give him what he wants. There should be an urgency when we see an empty seat in the house of God. There, right now, look around you. There are empty seats. That seat belongs to a soul. And we're believing God for every seat to be filled and every soul to be full. With the power, the presence, the love, the joy, the peace, the fellowship of being a part of the family of God. And we've got to go find them. We've got to go look for them. And it's simple. Just invite somebody. Nobody gets saved by themselves. Cameron Mitchell Monroe, a guy I worked with, invited me to church. I'm here today because he invited me to church. Can you give God thanks for that invitation? 90% of people will come if you just invite them. I love going to Dunkin' Donuts every day, and as a result, man, their crew is here every single week. Miss Jasenia is sitting right there. Jasenia, wave at everybody. Y'all give her a big hand today. One of the most beautiful girls you've ever seen, her daughter Genesis, if you get the privilege of meeting her, man, the joy of the Lord just radiates from her. But Jasenia came up to me Wednesday night and said, thank you for inviting me. Well, I invited her. She invited the whole crew. I mean, we got half of Dunkin' Donuts employees coming to church. Amen? Amen. Share victory with somebody else. Here's one of the ways you do it. One of the simplest ways. Maybe you don't know how to tell somebody how to get saved. Okay, give them a CD. All of us can do that, right? When you're sitting here every week, this happens regularly. You think of somebody you know who needs to hear what I'm saying. It's like, oh, I know somebody needs to hear that other than me. Because it's always for somebody else. Well, there's a reason why the Holy Spirit's given you their name and bringing them to your attention. Grab a CD, take that with you. Share the app with them. God's doing amazing things through the app. More than 3,700 app downloads. We have people in other states that are getting a hold of us saying, we feel like members of your church. Our mind is blown. We wish we were there to be a part of what God's doing. Thank God that we live close enough we can drive to it. Let me tell you that 42,000 people have listened. 42,000 times the messages of this church has been listened to through the app alone. That's amazing, y'all, because the word is changing people. You know, use your tweeter. I don't know how to do that. I don't have a tweeter, but you've got a tweeter. Use your tweeter. Use your Instagram or whatever it is you use. Tell people if something stood out to you in the message, tweeter it and tell them where you heard about it. Amen? Come on. We overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Social media is one of the ways you testify. Don't be obnoxious, but if you hear something good, share it with somebody else. So ask the question, and I've given you a place there where you can write the people's names. Who are you going to bring? Who are you going to invite? The third thing is do something for someone else every week. Do something for someone else every single week. The reality is very simply this. Where we spend our money matters. And we want to put our money where our mouth is because Jesus said where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, we want to show that we treasure other people by sowing into their lives. And so I want to encourage you to begin sowing into other people's lives. This is critical because we grow when we sow. We grow when we sow. What we make happen in other people's house, God makes happen in our house. So if you're not giving in the offering, I want to challenge you to start giving. If you're not tithing, I want to challenge you to start tithing. If you are, praise God, start encouraging and sharing your testimony with other people. Use a Love Struck card to go and be a blessing to somebody else somewhere else. One of the coolest things happened last week. We got a hit on our Facebook page, a woman in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. She was in the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A, which I am totally jealous that she was there and I'm here. And somebody Love Struck her, paid for her entire bill, and gave her a Love Struck card. In Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, making a difference from Troy, PA. Amen? These are things you can do. And I want to say something. I'm not saying this for me. I'm not saying it for the church. I'm not saying it to fund the vision. I'm saying it simply because I know what it's going to do in your life. I want to see you walking in God's best. I want to see you blessed. I want to see you living in abundance and overflow. And like the Apostle Paul said, I don't need your gift. It's what you need. And that is, you need what God does for your account. He blesses you and there is fruitfulness that comes. The fourth and last one is simply this. We want you to devo daily. We're talking about your daily devotional life, which very simply means, are you talking to God every day? And are you reading His Word every day? Or listening. You can read or listen. Your devo daily. This is critical. Nothing in your life is more important, I promise you. Give God access to your heart every single day. It's the most important thing you'll do. There's no greater indicator of how much you'll grow than your devo. And here's what I want to say to you. I want to take a totally different approach. We're not going to bite off a big honking piece of steak and gag on it. Less is more. I want to challenge everybody. I don't care how long you've been saved. Less is more. Bigger is not better. Better is better. Read less, obey more. Read less, obey more. I'd rather know less and do more. Amen? And so that's where my challenge is to every single person here today. Because what you put in is what's going to come out. If we don't like what's coming out, change what's going in. If you're frustrated with how slow you're changing and how slow you're growing, you can increase the amount you put in. Because the good news is, you cannot OD on God's Word. It's the key to walking in victory. It's the key to staying strong. It's the key to remaining in God's will and living a blessed life. Maintaining your balance, renewing your vision, clarity of focus, discovering your purpose, and reaching your potential. I don't know about you, but that sounds really good to me. That's the kind of life I want to live. How many of you want that kind of life? Amen? Can you give God praise today? So number one, we're going to attend. John, I want you at every service for the next 5 weeks. You can do that. That's attainable.
See what I can do.
Number two is invite somebody to Victory Church. Number three is be a blessing every week.
I'll try.
Every week. So what are you bringing me tomorrow morning?
I bring chocolate from the drummer.
And number four, we want you to devo every day. I love you. God bless you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for being a part of Victory. We are making a difference in our world for Jesus Christ. And I love doing life with you. Minister Weil.
Hallelujah. God is so good. Yeah, come on. Give God a praise today. Give God a praise today. Hallelujah. Stand with me today. I love being in God's presence. I love being in God's house every single week. I love hearing the Word. Well, you know what blows my mind? Pastor Josh doesn't sit around and say, I wonder what cute message I can preach this week. He goes into prayer and he says, God, what does my flock need to hear? And these messages, these series, this is what the Holy Spirit says to us, that this is what you guys need. This is what you need to move to the next level. This is what you need to succeed. And that gets me fired up, church. That gets me so excited because I know that when I come in here, I know that the Word...